All right, let's open our Bibles this morning to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. I do hope you'll pray for the sword this week. Pray that the Word of God will go forth in boldness and power and stir the hearts of preachers from all over the world. All over the world will be here this week in Winston-Salem. And so pray for the Lord to bless. Pray for Dr. Smith and as he moderates the meeting, and pray that everything goes well. And then if you would say a little extra prayer for me on Wednesday night, I would appreciate that. And we just trust the Lord to give us a great week. Isaiah got married last week, and this is last service for a little while. He is heading out to Las Vegas to gamble the rest of his life away. I mean, to work at a church out there. And so be sure and shake his hand. And Isaiah was another one of those kids that ran all over this place for years. And now he's an old married man and heading out so to serve the Lord. So pray for him. And then pray for Mom and Dad. It's not easy, is it, Roy? It's just not easy. So pray for them as well. All right, Matthew's Gospel, are you there? Chapter 24, are you there? All right, let's begin reading, please, in verse 3. Verse 3, and I want you to follow along as I read. If you need a Bible, there should be one right in front of you in the hymn rack, and you may feel free to use it. Just put it back when you're done with it, if you would. All right, verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, this he is Jesus now, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming?" All right, now if you'll look back at verse 2, you'll see what things they are referencing. In verse 2, the Bible says, "And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." All right? And so the disciples privately said, "Lord, tell us, when shall all these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" All right, so notice the expanse of time that is referred to in that third verse. He said, "Tell us then, when shall these things be?" All right, now watch. "And what shall be the sign of thy coming, comma, and the end of the world?" All right, so if you know your Bible, you know that the end of the world is way beyond the time of Christ's coming. All right, I have said to you over and over and over that the Lord is coming again. We don't know when, but we know he's coming. And in this passage of Scripture, we have it from the Lord Jesus himself that he is coming again. Now, I don't know about you, but I think he's overdue. All right, that's just my personal opinion, all right? I think the Lord is overdue. If I were running things in heaven, I would say, okay, go, you know? Come on back. if I were running things, but they won't let me run things, I've asked. But the Lord is coming back. You can be assured of that. All right, now look at verse 4. What shall be the sign of thy coming, verse 3, and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man, what's the next word? Deceive you. Boy, that is so vital. When we talk about the last days, folks, you could stop 10 people on the road and ask them, what is your opinion about the second coming of Christ? And you're going to get 10 different answers. You're going to get 10 different answers. It's absolutely amazing how man has taken the doctrine of the second coming of Christ and has turned it and twisted it and made it say in their minds what they wanted to say instead of just trusting the Bible to say what God means. We come up with all these different things. What we are in doctrine, which is we are pre-millennial. So we believe that the Lord Jesus is going to return to this earth before, pre means before, the millennium. All right? We are also pre-trib rapture. We believe that the Lord is going to return first in the clouds. In the clouds. And the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised, and we're all going to meet the Lord. All the redeemed, all the saved people are going to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. So that's what our Bible teaches. What we believe, we are pre-tribulational rapture, and we are pre-millennial in His second coming, in His return. All right? So rapture and then return. And there is a seven-year gap between the rapture of the church and the Lord Jesus coming back to this earth with His saints, with all of us, to fight the battle of Armageddon and to deliver the Jews from the tyranny and the persecution that the Antichrist is going to put upon them during that tribulation period. All right, so that's what we believe. Now, there are others who say that they are post-millennial. In other words, that Jesus is not going to come back to this earth until after the millennium. And they believe that we are in the millennium right now. Well, folks, if we're in the millennium, God help us. All right? I mean, if this is the millennium, then something's wrong. Something's wrong. We are not in the millennium. All right? We are still in the age of the church, and we will be until the Lord Jesus appears in the clouds and raptures the church up to be with Him. All right, so Jesus said in verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you. In other words, folks, we're to get our eschatology, which is the study of future things, all right? Eschatos, that is future things in Greek. And then ology, of course, is the science of. So the science of the Lord's return is eschatology. And we are to have our eschatology correct. If your eschatology is not correct, then you're going to be off somewhere else along the way. It's just the way it is. And so there are those who say, oh, well, we believe Jesus is coming at the end of the millennium. No, let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. Then there are others who say, well, the church has to go through the first part of the tribulation period. No, that's not right either. That's not right either. And I'll show you that in a little bit if I have time. But no such thing as a mid-trib rapture. That's not Bible. That's not Bible. That's somebody's outline that they put on a piece of paper and said, it's just not fair that the church is in such bad shape and God doesn't judge the church. It's just not fair. So we believe that the millennium, that the tribulation period, half of it, and that's when the Lord comes back. No, no, no. He comes at the beginning of the tribulation period. Tribulation period. All right, everybody got that? So it's get your theology straight. So that's what all these pre-wrath and post-trib and mid-trib and millennialist. Those are the people that say, there ain't going to be no millennium. All right? That's what they believe, seriously. Oh, there's not going to be. Yes, there is. The Bible's clear about that. Old Testament and New Testament, there is a millennial reign coming. So get it all straight. Don't be deceived. Look at verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall, what's the next word? Deceive many. But don't you be deceived, folks. Just don't fall for it. And get your theology, get your eschatology straight. Verse 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. All right, so all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Then verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, like COVID-19, all right, like that other thing that is going around now, and earthquakes in diverse places. Now, that doesn't mean where men go scuba diving. All right, that means different, in different places all over the world. Every day there's an earthquake somewhere. Every day you need to realize that. And then Jesus said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, let me stop right here. And let's pray, and I want to speak to you this morning on his return is closer than ever. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word, and I pray you'll bless your word this morning. Father, we're thankful how the music has set the stage for what is about to be said. And Lord, I just pray that you will bless now the preaching of your word. May it all tie together and help us to realize that our Savior is indeed coming again. This could be the day. It's an amazing thought that this could be the day when the Lord Jesus steps out of heaven and steps out on the clouds and calls us home. Lord, I pray you'll give us faithfulness, faithful hearts. Help us to love you. Help us to get ready in our hearts and in our minds for that day, because it's sooner than we ever thought. So Lord, bless now in Christ's name. Amen. The Lord Jesus took his disciples and walked up on the Mount of Olives a little bit where they could look over, and the disciples came and stood by his side. Folks, I wish that you could have seen the glory of the temple. Now, the temple was there when Christ was alive in Jerusalem. It was there. Herod, the great architect, the great builder, had come in and had built on and added to the temple, and it was a glorious sight. They had torches that lit it up every night, and they kept them lit. You could see it for miles and miles away. Of course, Jerusalem is on top of the mountain, and you could see that temple from every direction as the lights of the temple on the sides lit up. It was a glorious sight. Any people would have been proud to have a temple of that magnitude in its capital city. And so here is the Lord Jesus taken to the with the disciples, and they look over and they said, "Master, isn't that something? Isn't that something?" When it says that they wanted to show him in verse 1 the buildings of the temple, he knew what the buildings of the temple were like, but they wanted to stop, no doubt, and just look at it. It was amazing. And it lit up the whole Temple Mount, and they just wanted to stand and admire what had been built in honor of Jehovah God. And so that's when the discussion began. And the Lord Jesus says to them, basically in verse 2, that they should not get all excited about that set of stones and furniture down there on the Temple Mount. You shouldn't get all worked up about that. That's temporal. That's temporal. What we ought to get excited about are eternal things, not temporal things. And so that's basically what the Lord Jesus was pointing out to his disciples. And he says that temple is going to be thrown down. There will not be one stone left upon another. Now, I have had the privilege to go over to the Holy Land 17 times. As I've been there, we always go to the Temple Mount, and it is absolutely phenomenal what you see there as you are walking to get into the Temple Mount. There is that western side of the Temple Mount, the western side of it. And all down that gully are stones. Some of those stones are huge. You wonder, how in the world did anybody ever get those stones up that mountain and get them in place in that temple? And how'd they do that? Well, we're going to find out one of these days for sure. I know there's a lot of speculation about it, but anyway, they did it. And so what happened was the Arabs, after Jesus died and then sent the apostles out into the uttermost parts of the earth, persecution broke out. And the Jews were terribly, terribly angry at Christians, and they got the Romans all stirred up, and the next thing you know, Christians were being slaughtered left and right. And so in 70 A.D., 70 A.D., all right, get the picture, Jesus was here at some say born about 3 B.C. Others say, no, it was 0 B.C. Well, whatever. It was somewhere. John, you might remember that. Do you remember that? No? No. Wake up, John. Wake up. All right. So he was born and lived for 33 and a half years. All right. And so whatever it was, 30 or 31 or 32, it's immaterial. In 70 A.D., here's what happened. All this persecution was going on. The Arabs were blaming the Jews or blaming the Christians for everything. And they said that these Christians need to be persecuted. The Jews agreed with them. And then they said, because the Christians stood at the temple and they preached the gospel, and it angered everyone. And so the Arabs thought, here's a good thing we ought to do. Let's load that thing up with timber, and we'll pour an accelerant on it, and then we'll shut all the windows, and we'll shut all the doors and bar them closed, and then light a fire in there and burn it up. Well, they did. That's exactly what they did. The Romans didn't do it. You check history. The Romans did not do it. Jesus said, don't forget, there shall not be one stone left upon another. Remember that? Not one stone. So how did that happen? Well, it happened because they loaded the temple with timbers, and they poured an accelerant on it, shut all the doors, locked all the doors, closed all the windows, sealed all the windows, and walked away. And for 2 weeks, that thing sat and just smoldered. It sat and just slowly burned until all the oxygen was burnt up in the building. And then all of a sudden, when all the oxygen was burned up, fire has to have oxygen to burn. And when that happened, kaboom, and not one stone was left upon another, just as the Lord Jesus said would happen. Folks, listen. We need to realize and understand that when the Lord Jesus says something is as it is, that it is as it is. Period. And he said that the temple would not have one stone left upon another. And that is exactly what happened to the temple. Now notice that Jesus said in verse 6, that several things must come to pass before he comes again. And one of the things that he said is that there will be those who will try to deceive. Oh, my friends, listen, don't be deceived. You stick with what the Bible says about the Lord's coming, not what man says about the Lord's coming. I don't expect you to take my word for it. You go home and read for yourself and figure out what you believe about the Lord's coming. But I'll guarantee you, I'm right. Or I wouldn't be up here preaching. I believe with all my heart that my understanding of the Lord's coming is a biblical understanding. So notice several things must happen, like false Christ coming and deceiving people, like wars and rumors of wars. But then he said, and when you see all these things, don't be troubled, because the end is not yet. So starting, look at your Bible now, starting in verse 7, all right, verse 7, what we see in verse 7 all the way over until verse 28, Jesus describes for us what it will be like during the tribulation period. All right, that's the 7 years of tribulation that follows the rapture of the church. So the first thing to happen, the next thing to happen on God's calendar, the Lord Jesus comes back, the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ rise first, then those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. All right, that's the next thing. Then there is a 7-year tribulation period on the earth. And it is during that tribulation period that all of these things are going to be seen in bulk. They're going to come in measure. All right? Now, here's the interesting thing. When you read verse 7 and verse 6 and verse 7, you say to yourself, well, wow, we're already seeing these signs. Yes, we are. You're exactly right. We are, aren't we? But you know what? These signs are not signs for the rapture of the church. There are no signs for the rapture. These signs are signs for the return at the end of the tribulation period. So you got the rapture, then you got the tribulation period, 7 years in length, divided 3.5 by 3.5, the second 3.5 called the Great Tribulation, and then the Lord comes back to this earth. And when he comes back, that is the return of Christ. That is the literal second coming. The rapture is not the second coming, because the Lord Jesus does not come back to this earth. He just comes back in the clouds and calls us out. Does that make sense to you? All right, so when you read verse 6 and 7, and probably many of you, as I read verse 6 and 7, you thought to yourself, wow, we're seeing this now. Yes, we are. And so if we're seeing this now, how much sooner will the Lord's coming be? If we're seeing the signs of at least 7 years from now, if we're seeing the signs now that are for an event at least 7 years away from right now, then how close must the Lord's rapture be? But understand, there are no signs for the rapture. It is an unexpected event. The Lord Jesus says that he'll come like a thief in the night. The Lord Jesus said he's going to come quickly, the Bible calls it, quickly. You say, well, how fast is that? Well, I'm going to quit preaching soon, but it's not going to be quickly. All right, you see the difference? If I was going to quit quickly, say that five times. If I was going to quit quickly, then I'd just say, let's bow our heads and go home, you know? But I'm not going to do that. So Jesus said, however, I come quickly. So we don't know when he's coming, folks, but he's coming. And here's another just wonderful thing about this. If you will look at verse 15 of this 24th chapter, look at verse 15, and Jesus tells us about the Antichrist coming. The Antichrist, you'll see, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation. Who is that? That's the Antichrist. He is the abomination that brings desolation. And we have him introduced. So he's not introduced, according to Paul, until the church, 2 Thessalonians 2, until we are taken out of the way. So we're in the tribulation period in verse 15. All right, then look please at verse 21. He said that when the Antichrist is revealed, he said, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. Folks, can you imagine? I mean, we have had some real times of tribulation in our world, have we not? When the first COVID flu hit back in 1918, you remember that one, John? Okay. Back in 1918, when the first flu hit, all right, my grandfather was about 28 years old, and he got it. He contracted that virus, and he lay in bed for 2 weeks with a fever between 102 and 105. This was pre-aspirin days, all right? This was 1918, and my great-grandmother just took minute by minute care of him, trying to nurse him through that. And they kept doing all kinds of things in order to keep his fever down. Wasn't very successful with it, but they tried. And after 2 weeks, he came to. He was delirious through all that for 2 long weeks. And the fever broke after 2 weeks, and he came to. For the next month, every hair on his head left. He did not have a hair on his head. You do, don't you? Yeah. A lot of folks in here know the feeling. I'm just thankful I live in the dispensation of hairspray. I can tell you that right now. Nothing. Don't say a word. No, don't. You don't want him starting. All right? Pestilences. Pestilences. And folks, it seems like every time you turn around, there's some new pestilence that's come upon us. All right? And so all these things are happening. Famines, yes, we're seeing them now. If we're seeing them now, how much more closer should the rapture of the church be? So understand that we are getting close. Now, look at verse 29 of this chapter. So I told you verse 3 through verse 28 is a description of the tribulation period and what all is going to happen in the tribulation. And then look at verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man, that's our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That's the second coming, folks. That's the return of Christ to this world. Hold your place here and go over to the book of the Revelation for just a moment, chapter 1. Revelation in chapter number 1. Look at it, please. Revelation 1, and look, please, at verse 7. Verse 7 of chapter 1. And in verse 7, here's what we read. Behold, he, Christ, cometh with clouds, and every eye. What's that say? Every eye. You say, well, I wonder what the Greek word says. Every eye. That's what it says.
So I wonder what that really
means. It means every eye.
Well, what's every mean?
It means all. All right? Every eye. Look at it. Verse 7. Shall see him. So when Jesus comes, not at the rapture, church will see him then. The world's not going to see Christ appear in the clouds. But we will. But when he comes at the end of the tribulation for the return, for the second coming, then every eye is going to see him. And they also which pierced him. Now, wait a minute. Where's those people? Where are those people? They're in hell. Yeah. The unbelievers who pierced him and all kindreds of the earth. That's families. Kindreds are families. So that's everybody. That encompasses everybody. You say, well, Pastor, how's the dead going to see him? They will. In hell, they will see him. And they will know. You know, folks, think about this. There is not one soul in hell right now. Not one who is not a believer. Not a one. They all believe it now. Oh, they didn't have time for Jesus when they were here. Satan had them, you ready? Deceived. They didn't have time for him, but they believe now. Should you go to hell and be able to give an invitation, everybody would trust Christ. They would. And when it says, every eye shall see him, that's exactly what it means. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Now, the kindreds of the earth, who are they? These are the people who live through the tribulation period. They for whatever reason, survive the tribulation period. Now, you read Revelation 6 through Revelation 18, and you're going to see that there are multitudes of people during the tribulation period who will be saved. Those people are the ones who have never heard the gospel prior to the rapture of the church. And there are many, multitudes. As a matter of fact, the Bible says a number which no man could number. You say, well, how are they going to get saved? They're going to get saved because God is going to call two witnesses who will be in Jerusalem, and they will preach the Bible, the gospel, and those who have not heard are going to listen to them. Those who have not heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Folks, do you know how many people that is? In our world today, do you know how many people that is? When I was in China, we were down on the street. Glenn and I were down on the street, Glenn Matthews, and we went to a store, and we stepped outside, and here come a lady, and she was walking this little girl. This little girl had her by the hand down here. They were just out on a walk, on a stroll. And when I stepped out of the store,
I told Glenn he was buying something, and I said, I'm going to wait for you right outside. He goes, okay. So I walked outside. Well, here comes this lady with this little girl. That little girl stopped and looked up at me. She had never seen, her mother said that she had never seen a white man before. She'd never seen a white man. And she's just talking in her language to her mom. You know, I didn't understand a thing she was saying. And her mom would giggle. And then I said, what is she saying? And she said, she is wondering if you are scaly. Do you have scales? And I said, well, I'm offended. She didn't understand what offended means, but I said, well, I'm offended. And then I said, no. And I put my hand down like that, and her mother said, told her, go ahead, touch him. So she reached out, and she touched my hand like this, and she looked at her mother with big old eyes. And her mom said, I said, where did you learn English? And she said, in school. And I said, oh. She said, not very good. I said, me either. Stay out of this. And so I asked that lady, Glenn came out about that time, and I asked that lady, I said, let me ask you a question. And she said, what? And I said, I'm from America, and I'm over here to talk about the Lord Jesus. Do you know the Lord Jesus? She said, she shook her head. She said, who? I said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. No. Am I supposed to know him? And I said, well, I was hoping you would. She said, no, I've never met him. And I said, well, would you like to meet him? I said, he is wonderful. Would you like to meet him? And she smiled and said, sure. And so I reached in my pocket, and I got my New Testament out, and I got a Chinese, this is not Chinese, but I got a Chinese tract out, and I opened it up, and it was written in Chinese, but then right underneath it, it had the Romans Road showing me, and so I would point to the verse, and I knew it was Romans 3:23, and so I gave her Romans 3:23, and then I gave her Romans 6:23, and then I gave her Romans 5:8, and then I gave her Romans chapter 10, and just went right through the gospel with her, and I said, she goes, and she stopped, she said, Oh, Shanti. And I said, no, that's their God. That's their God. All right? A false God. And she said, oh, Shanti. No. I said, and I held out my Bible, and I said, the God of the Bible. Bible? No understanding of what a Bible was. None. But folks, wait a minute. I've seen that same thing right here in America. I have witnessed to people right here in America. They have no understanding of who Jesus is. So during the tribulation period, there will be many saved. But if you've heard the gospel on this side of the rapture, you're going to believe the devil's lie. And you're going to follow the Antichrist. That's what the Bible clearly tells us. So his return is closer than ever. Amen. So let me ask you, are you ready? You know, every time, listen to me and I'm done, every time that there is a verse about the Lord's return, there is always the admonition for us to be comforted by that promise. He's coming again. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You see, all through the Bible, he's coming again. You ought to be comforted by that. You ought to be comforted by that. But you know, if you're not saved, you can't be comforted by that knowledge. Because if he comes back, you're stuck here. And that's not going to be pleasant. But he is coming again. I'm excited about his coming again. It could be today. I mean, before we come back to church tonight, the rapture could happen. And I sure pray that you're ready. I pray you're ready. Because it could be today. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Father in heaven, thank you for your wonderful word. And Father, I pray you'll bless your word to our hearts, encourage us. Help us, Father, to realize the day of the Lord is at hand. And I just ask you to open our hearts and our minds to get a clear understanding of how this is all going to play out. And it's clearly in the Word of God. It's not something we have to speculate about. It's written for our edification. And so, Lord, help us to get in the book, to know beyond any shadow of doubt and understand Bible eschatology. I pray that if someone's here today and they're not ready for your son to step out on the clouds and call believers up to be with you so we don't have to go through that terrible tribulation period. If there's someone who is not ready, may today be the day they realize they need to get saved before it's too late. Because we have no guarantee for even after a while, much less tomorrow. So, Father, speak to hearts today. Give us understanding. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed.